in season and out of season.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come into them.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words: I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I hope you went to Mass yesterday. You would have heard it was the reading from our opening to proclaim the gospel when convenient and inconvenient. They did not say in season and out of season. They've changed the translation. And I guess either one is good, but I like in season and out of season personally. That's the older translation. And I wonder how many of you who listen realized that yesterday as it was being read. Yesterday's readings had everything to do with prayer. Now, we need to know that we are a people that are too busy, and we are a people that are on treadmills. You must know that. You don't have to be around too long to know that people are on treadmills. And treadmills go round and round and round. And you know what? People keep on adding things to their lives. And you keep on adding and adding and adding and adding and adding. And then as a result, what has to happen? You have to subtract some things because we're not God. You have to be able to say, well, some things have to be subtracted. Because as you add and add and add and add, you cannot keep up with all the things that you have, so you subtract some things. And one of the main things that people subtract, and even I subtract when I get too busy, is prayer. And when that happens, you fall apart. Prayer is something that has a great effect on our lives. Prayer is, I don't know how to describe prayer. It's something that has a great effect on our lives. It's when we spend time with the Lord and give him our hearts, and even if we don't pray well, as long as we're in his presence, things begin to happen. I often say that when I preach, the devil doesn't really mind, but when I pray, he cowers. He cowers when I pray. Why? Because he knows that even though I don't pray well, even though my mind might be drifting off to 700 other subjects, for me to be in the presence of God, something has to happen. It's faith. And God always rewards faith. Because you know what? When I go and pray, it feels like I'm in the middle of a ball field. That's the way it is. But I want to tell you, it is still efficacious, even though I do not pray well, even though I don't think I pray often. By often, I mean really connect. Well, feeling like I connect. Because you know what? It makes no difference as long as I'm there. And if I'm there, things begin to happen. When I'm not there, things fall apart. Very interesting. We're all on the old treadmill of life, and we're all doing all these things, and we're all adding, 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 and we subtract prayer. And when we subtract prayer, you know what? We lose our lifeline. That's what we do. We lose our lifeline. And, you know, I've often said that I don't usually do things when I don't do them well. That's why I don't go bowling. And after all these years, you know, I don't pray well. I pray in a group well, but I have no concentration, not so ever, whatsoever, absolutely none. I was reading last night St. Teresa of Avila. She was flying around, went to heaven. The reading that I read, chapter 39, I said, honey, you're in heaven. I'm in the depths of the earth. But she flew up to heaven and she saw things. My Lord, she says, when I saw things like I said, I couldn't imagine. The light of heaven is so unlike the light of earth. I know that to be true. Because she's flying around and I'm saying, you got to be kidding. But I believe it. I truly believe that's true. Believe it's absolutely true. I believe she flew up to heaven. I believe that. That just doesn't happen to be my experience right now. But my being in the presence of God makes all the difference in the world. Even though I have the concentration not only of a fly, but of a gnat. being there makes all the difference in the world. So are you on a treadmill? If you are, better get off of it. And you better make some time for prayer, because you know what? You're impotent when you don't pray. You're impotent. And that's the way it is. Chapter 18 of Luke. Then Jesus told them a parable about the necessity of them to pray always without growing discouraged. He said, there was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any man. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, render a just decision for me against my adversary. For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, while it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any man, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. The Lord said, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? I never read that line until this week. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? You know, we do have rights. In the sight of God, we do have rights. We might not have rights other places, like in the government. They have taken our rights away from us. They have taxed us to the nth degree. We have taxation without representation. Millions and millions of dollars of our tax money, your tax money, my tax money, goes to abortions. Do you know that each abortion, I will get you the figures, costs us over $1 million of government money? I'll get you the figures. I have them. Each abortion that happens at Planned Parenthood costs the government that gives to Planned Parenthood over $1 million per abortion. This is true. I have the figures. I will read them to you. I will get them. People don't believe that, but wait till you hear them. And all your money and my money going to kill children. Isn't that wonderful? That's where our money goes, to kill children. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. We have no rights. We cannot say to the government, we don't want our tax dollars to go to Planned Parenthood. No, we don't have that right. We have no rights. You know, we have no rights. Even want to freak you out just a little more. If your children are getting measles vaccine and chickenpox vaccine, I want you to know they come from a line of an embryonic stem cell. The church knows that. Has not said anything about it. I think they said there's so many generations after the first that it doesn't make a difference. But go back to the first. It came from an embryonic stem cell. Honest. You look it up in Google. You Google it yourself. You'll see it's true. I knew this years ago, and I said it years ago. Meg Wade told me that. Meg Wade, give me a call. Give me a call, please. Meg Wade told me that a long time ago. That's right. That's why Christopher McHugh will not have his children vaccinated like that. He will not do it. But the church says nothing about that. Nothing about that. Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Yes, the rights of his, and you know, in the presence of God, our right is that we have access before the throne of God. We have access before the throne of grace. We can go before the Lord at any time of the day, any time of the night, and we can place our case before him, because God is not an unjust judge. God gave us Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. God loves us so much that Christ gave his life for us. We have rights. We just don't use them. Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that is the question. And I ask another question: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the church? Because that's much more important. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the church? Okay, let's travel down your streets. Okay, let's travel down your streets. Okay, and today is, it's toward the end of October, isn't it? And we travel down your streets and we see gravestones there saying rest in peace. And then we see scorpions. The other day I saw men hanging from windows, you know. When the Son of Man comes, will he find the occult on the earth? Oh, yes, he'll find lots of the occult. And many of the people that do the occult and that celebrate the pagan feast, Halloween, the Feast of Darkness, many of the people, I'm going to tell you, they say that they're Christian. Isn't that interesting? You want to know why they replace evil with good? Because they don't know God. People ask me, Father Tom, why are you so vehemently against Halloween? I'm going to tell you why. I want to tell you a story about Emily. Emily was a little girl about 11 years old. She was in an experience of ritual abuse. An older person told me this story. He was part of this when he was a child. Well, I want to tell you that, we'll say on Halloween, they killed Emily, 11 years old, beautiful blonde hair. And then they began to cannibalize her. Happy Halloween. That's right. They began to cannibalize her. That's right. Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. You just drive down the street and you see tarantulas, you see cobwebs, and it looks like Christmas. Now we have orange lights, so beautiful, as we commemorate the Feast of Darkness. It's what it is, the Feast of Darkness. And our people are so well educated, you know, that they don't know Jesus from the devil. I remember one woman that I called up because I hadn't seen her in a long time. She said to me, oh, we always celebrate all the feasts of the church. She said, yeah. No, she wrote this to me. She didn't say this on the telephone. And she said, yes, we always celebrate the feasts of the church. Christmas, Easter, and Halloween. That's right. This poor bum had a drug addiction. But you know what? They did know where to come when she was on drugs, thank God. They did know where to come. They came to us when she was on drugs. Christmas, Easter, and Halloween. That's right. How many churches have I been at, stationed, and on the doors there were witches? Because people think it's fun. No, I think of Emily. They cannibalized her on Halloween. Isn't that nice? Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. There's nothing happy about it. If you knew the things that I knew, you wouldn't even say the word Halloween. The Church in her wisdom gave us All Saints Day. You want to know why? Because the Feast of Darkness, or Halloween, is a pagan feast that predates Christianity. It predates Christianity. And the church tried to combat the Feast of Darkness with the light of the children of God around the throne, the saints. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? It's a big question. Not if we don't pray. When the Son of Man comes, will we find faith upon the church? Not if we don't pray. When the Son of Man comes, will we find faith in your church? In, you know? I'm going to talk about the piddly homilies that most people get, and the fluffy stuff that many of the televangelists give. And I like the televangelists because you know what? I believe in the blood. And you know what? They help me. But I'm going to tell you, I never heard one of those televangelists talk about martyrdom. And I never heard one of those televangelists other than Billy Graham talk about carrying the cross. Never once. You want to know why? Same with us. Our revenue would go down if we talked like that. Come on, Rochelle, say amen. Come on, honey, I hear you. Say amen. Say it in Hebrew. Amen. Come on, Rochelle, say it. It's really true. Who's going to talk about carrying the cross? Last week we celebrated the Feast of Martyrs. It really was funny. It was St. Ignatius that said he wanted to be wheat ground in the teeth of the lions. To become Eucharist is what he said. He said to his followers, you know, he was the successor of St. Peter, which means he was the second bishop of Rome, which means he was the second pope. Call him what you want. He died a martyr as he was chewed up by the lions. Wheat! Crushed in the teeth of the beasts. And he said to his followers, if I try to get out of this, don't even listen to me. This is the way I want to die. And if I change my mind, don't even listen to me. Because I want to give my life for the one who gave his life for me. Not that I could ever repay it. That was one of the martyrs that we celebrated. Imagine somebody saying, going to the bishop, or me, and say, Father Tom, I want to be wheat in the teeth of the lions. Do, 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 do. We'd have him in the booby hatch. St. Ignatius of Antioch. Oh, you also said, I hear the stream running within me of the Father saying, come to the Father. Oh, he said lots of good things, St. Ignatius of Antioch. Very Eucharistic, believed in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. He wasn't Protestant. This was the year 90. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believed in it. He wanted to become Eucharist, in union with the Eucharist. And then we celebrated last week, it was St. Isaac Jogues and John de Berf and their companions who died, the North American martyrs, we call them. And their fingers were mangled. They were cut off, really. Oh, yeah, fingers cut off and mutilized. That's right. These are the martyrs who died for the blood. You think that's rare? It's happening every single day in the Mideast, in Indonesia. That's right. Muslim countries. Some of the old priests have been warehoused for years and years and years. But in our piddly homilies, people don't mention these kind of things because, you know what, our revenue would go down. Imagine teaching the people how to become martyrs. Because martyr means witness, and witness means martyr. No, we're not going to talk about that. And neither will the televangelists. Why? Because the revenue would go down. M-O-N-E-Y. Filthy lucre. Scripture tells us to not love filthy lucre. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? I don't know. Jesus doesn't give us an answer. He really doesn't. He really doesn't. And I'm going to tell you something. I preached this homily in 1990. And in 1990, it was 1,000 times brighter than it is in 2007. And I asked the same question in 1990. Will the Son of Man find faith upon the earth when he returns? And my question was really a question that I believed. I'm going to tell you it's 2,000 times worse than 2007. This is really true. In 1990, I preached that there was a faith crisis in the church. I gave 5 talks on that on WROL. I won't tell you. It's a faith catastrophe now. It's not a crisis. This is 17 years later, and it's astronomically grown. In 1990, you'd have hundreds of people by the abortion mill praying. Now we have 4, 5, if we're blessed. That's really true. Hundreds came out. Hundreds. The march at the Common with thousands. That's right. And when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? Not if we don't pray. Not if we don't do penance. Not if we don't carry the cross. Not if we don't secure the rights of our faith. Believe me, he will not find faith in the church. Honest. Not with our piddly homilies and the health, wealth, and good nature of the televangelists. Because nobody's talking about the blood and about shedding our blood and about the possibility of being martyrs. Who's going to say those things? And their revenue would go down? Because it's all about money. Too bad. I'll say those things because you know what? We are living in the time of martyrs. Not in our country yet, but in many countries. More people die for Jesus Christ today than ever before. So he will find faith. He will find faith in the persecuted countries, honest. But I don't know if he's going to find faith in our country. As I said, in 1990, we had hundreds at the abortion mills. Hundreds. Now, 4 or 5. Something's happened. You figure it out. It's too big for me to figure out. Never mind the abortion mills. In 1990, we had many more people coming to church. Many, many more. Now, the church was not full, but we had many more. Now, look at it. At least in Boston. I think that's indicative of something. How they celebrate the Feast of Darkness, and they don't know their left hand from their right, just like the Ninevites. That's why God sent Jonah to cry out repentance. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? Will he find faith in you? That's the issue. And will he find faith in me? Only if we pray. Honest. Only if we pray. And if you're on the treadmill, and you've added so much stuff in your life, you better start subtracting and start adding prayer. You understand what I'm saying? You better start subtracting and start adding prayer. Because all the stuff that you do and I do, if we are not praying, it's useless. If we are not spending time with the Lord, it's absolutely useless. You understand me? You better start subtracting. You better start subtracting and add prayer. Personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Personal time with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the highlight of the weekend. Last week, not this Saturday, last Saturday, I told you about our friend Brad who had a week to live. And he left and we prayed over him. He had cancer, you know. And somebody came up to me and says, poor Brad only has a week to live. Well, while I was preaching this Saturday, Brad came in with his mother. And I'm preaching and I say, Brad, it's so good to see you. Why are you back? He said, because I felt so much love here last week and so much energy. I said, Brad, it's not energy, it's the Holy Ghost. We prayed over Brad last week again, this week again. the highlight of my week. You want to know why? He didn't die in a week. And he's got hope. He was surrounded by love and by prayer. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? The highlight of my week. Hope. Our Lady of Hope, pray for us. We have her in our church. Our Lady of Hope, you know what she carries? She carries the crucified Jesus, and she lifts up the cross, the crucified Jesus, to the world. Our Lady of Hope, pray for us. Our Lady of Hope, pray for Brad. Our Lady of Hope, pray for Father Adam. Our Lady of Hope, pray for Father Matthew. Our Lady of Hope, pray for the Archbishop of Boston. Our Lady of Hope, pray for me. Oh, we need that hope that goes beyond the veil, beyond the veil. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in you? Not if you don't pray. Honest. He'll find a lot of other stuff. Maybe he'll find, if he comes at around this time of year, Halloween decorations. Adorning the God of darkness. Take them down in the name of Jesus. Take them down and burn them. Happy Halloween. No. There's nothing happy about it. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I think that I will never see a poem as lovely as a tree. As Joyce Kilmer said, I think I will never see a poem as lovely as a tree. Those were kind of things we learned when we were in high school and school. Now I don't know what they're learning. A tree who lifts its leafy arms in prayer. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, they talked about prayer in the public school. I don't know what they're talking about now. Oh, yes, they are. They're talking about condoms in Maine. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602. Oh, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you want to come to our last surprise Mass this week, it'll be the last one and the first one. It's tonight, and you're welcome to come at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Last one and first one this week. There will not be another. God bless you. Glory to God in the highest. Jesus is Lord. Blessed be the blood. The blood of the Lamb that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where's the music? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The blood. It's all in the blood, everyone. The blood of Christ. Praise his holy blood. Praise his holy sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah.